So we've celebrated the great feast of Pentecost, where we commemorate and kind of, in a sense, relive the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've celebrated all of the saints, because two Sundays ago, and then now last Sunday, all the saints, because that's how we are made holy. And so the next thing that is kind of the logical thing that follows from that is the fact that there are saints among us. So today we celebrate all of the saints of North America. And today we have one extra saint, or one more saint, recognized in North America, Saint Olga of, and I won't even try to pronounce the little village that she comes from. I think it's Queslick. Okay, so I did try. hopefully I got it right. And if I didn't, hopefully Saint Olga won't mind. I'm sure she won't. She's a saint. One of the things that kind of struck me as I was reading over her life is that she died in 1978. So I was actually around when she was around. I wasn't around in Alaska, so I didn't know her. And I'm really only just beginning to get to know her. But that's actually something as well that kind of struck me as I'm meditating upon her. And yet we have yet another saint in North America, and trying to get to know her a little bit. And while I don't actually have any direct experience of her, I do actually have some reasonably direct experience of what it means to be a Matryoshka. Not personal, but a fairly close connection there. And she was a Matryoshka. As I'm trying to get to know her, one of the other things that was really helpful, I sent out a few resources your guys' way, one of which was a book written for children, and I happened to read the book written for children because I like children's books. One of the things I thought that book did really well was kind of establish, you know, she started out just like all the rest of us. She was a young girl in Queslick, Alaska, which is kind of way up north and quite a bit inland. And she was deeply embedded, as all of her people were, in the natural world. She looked after reindeer, which had been introduced to Alaska. They weren't native to Alaska, but she looked after reindeer. She wandered in the mountains and loved the mountains. She knew all sorts of plants and herbs that were good for curing various ailments. All of which she learned as a little girl. And she had a priest. Again, that's another thing I really like about the book. It actually talks about the priest who was there in the village of Queslick, who was, you know, giving the sermons, conducting the services, traveling all over the place, because priests in those areas have to look after multiple communities, and so traveling through the wilderness, and just living out the Christian life in front of his people and in front of Olga. She eventually marries the village postmaster, Nicholas Michael, who eventually becomes himself a priest was ordained just after the village priest died. So she then becomes a Matryoshka, but really she just continues in that role a lot of what she was already doing. She would look after the people who came to her. She was always baking stuff for people. She had 13 children of her own, by the way, so it was nothing like she didn't have other things to do. but she was always making things. And one of the little tidbits again in the children's book that I really liked was that she would make mittens for everybody, which you kind of need up there in Queslick, Alaska. she would give the mittens to people, and at least in the book, it says she would give somebody brand new to the community a pair of mittens and say, there, now your fingers are local. She was also a midwife. She would come and she would, there were a fair number of people giving birth in that community, and she would come in and she would work with them, as another Marshka of my acquaintance has done. And she would, again, one of the little details that in the book that I really liked to hear was that what she would do whenever the woman was having the next contraction, she would say the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And so with each contraction, she would say that. And then often she would, you know, because she was so busy, as I say, she was Marushka, a little mother to her own family of 13 children, and really by extension to the whole of the little community there. She would sometimes have to just kind of take off. So she would leave, she would be there for the whole birth, give the baby to the mother, and then kind of disappear with a nice, freshly baked sourdough loaf on the table. And that was her life. A life lived in dedication to God and in service to the people around her. And really, if we think about it, that's what God is calling us to. This is the holiness that God is calling us to. And one of the things, again, that really struck me here, not simply in reading and learning about Marushka Olga, but rather when I first came into the Orthodox Church, one of the things that really struck me was that holiness is attainable. We often, again, think that, you know, well, you know, when the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church have got all this whole array of saints, and they're celebrated, and you know, they're amazing holy people, which they are. But this is something that we are called to and that we can attain to just by living the lives that Jesus calls us to live. In the gospel reading today, we had a fairly simple gospel reading. We have, or actually it's two gospel readings, but they're basically continuous. We have the calling of Peter and hang on, who else was there? There was Peter and Andrew and his brother. Jesus just says to them, he comes up to them, they're casting their net into the sea, and he comes up to them and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they leave their nets and follow him. It's like, that's a pretty simple gospel reading. That's the first one. And really, that's the simplicity of what we are called to. We are very simply called to follow Jesus. In whatever walk of life that he has put us into, we are called to be those, to follow the way of life that he lays down for us, that he shows us, that he lives out for us, and you know, take up our cross daily and follow him. And then the second gospel reading, which is really, as I say, continuous from this, is the Beatitudes. And again, very simple. Blessed are the poor of spirit, in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And my question for each and every one of us is, can you do this? Is it possible for you to be poor in spirit, to mourn, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be merciful, to seek after purity of heart, to make peace with the people that you're with? And if it is, then go do it. That's what we're called to. And as we do these things, our Lord himself says we are blessed. And as well, he says, you know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because that will happen. You try and do any of these things, and people will look down on you and discourage you and get annoyed with you, even for doing the good things. And nobody likes that. That tends to make us bad and frustrated and angry. Like, here I put myself out for you, and I was trying to be nice to you, and I was trying to help you. And it's like, so what? They misjudged you. They hurt you. You're blessed. It's really, what it boils down to is it's really quite simple. We simply need to choose to follow Jesus at every moment and every time of every day in whatever circumstance he has placed us in. And then as we encounter all of the hardships of life, many of which are listed here in the Beatitudes, we need to respond with joy. Yeah, that's probably the harder part, but that as we do that, you know, that's basically what Matushka Olga did. She served in whatever way was opened up to her, and she gave whatever she had to give, and she spent her time singing hymns in the church and helping and serving. And if we do this, Jesus says, we will be blessed. More than that, if we do this and, you know, recognize when we fall, this is the other half of holiness, because, you know, we do fail sometimes. If we do this and we recognize when we fall and we repent and we turn back and we ask God for forgiveness and we ask one another for forgiveness, then Jesus' teaching is that we are forgiven. We are made clean. We are made holy. And so we can continue with all the other good stuff that we were created to do. And it's really just that continuous cycle. As we see opportunities to do good to anyone, do it, especially to those who are of the household of faith, Paul says. As we do that and suffer persecution or difficulty or hardship or trial, rejoice because you're blessed. And as we fail to do that, repent. And if we continue in this life that Christ lays out to us, we too will be made holy. We too will be the holy ones of God. We too will be saints. With Matushka Olga, with St. Herman of Alaska, with all of the saints who have gone before us, and all of the saints who are with us and in our midst already, and among us, and being shaped into saints right before our very eyes. Note those, says Paul, who among you, who walk according to the pattern that we showed you, and honor them, and imitate them. Follow me, says Paul, as I follow Christ. Look for the goodness that is out there. Celebrate it, honor it, imitate it. And we too will be made by the Holy Spirit of God and by our own choice and our will, harmonized in synchronicity with the divine will, children of God, to his glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.